Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and all this talk about terrorism puts new focus on the issue of immigration. And when people become citizens, naturalized citizens, after immigrating to this country, they have certain new rights and responsibilities. And we will talk about some of these things with a top official at the Citizenship and Immigration Service. He is Alfonso Aguilar, the chief of that agency's Office of Citizenship. He just came out with a guide of do's and don'ts for immigrants, the first of its kind for permanent residents. It's an attempt to encourage integration for newcomers before they become citizens. And integration is suddenly an even hotter topic in Western countries in light of the latest terrorist attacks in Europe. In the last recorded decade, you know, over 9 million immigrants were admitted to this country, almost double that of the 70s. So we are joined now by Alfonso Aguilar. Welcome to WNYC. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Tell us about the guide and what it's supposed to do with respect to integration or assimilation.
Well, we want to make sure that we engage immigrants as soon as they arrive in the country, not when they apply for citizenship. Most immigrants, and people many times generalize about immigrants, and we have to understand that some people come to the country temporarily as workers or tourists, but they return to their countries, and they come with non-immigrant visas. Immigrants are those who come to the country as permanent residents to live and work in the United States permanently. Now, we want to target them and engage them as soon as they arrive, providing them with basic information about life in America. So that's why we've developed this guide, which provides basic information on how to settle in the United States, but also basic information about our system of government, civics, encouraging them to deepen their understanding of U.S. history and citizenship rights and responsibilities, and also encouraging them to learn English as soon as they arrived. In the past, I think we tended to engage permanent residents when they apply for citizenship. Generally, they apply for citizenship after they've been in the country for 5 years. I think we're losing time. We have to make sure that we engage them as soon as they arrive. And as you very well said at the beginning of the program, we, you know, with the record levels of immigration we're receiving in the country today, we're indeed facing a new great wave of immigration. We have to make sure that no one feels marginalized, nobody feels left out. And to do that, we have to make sure that we engage them as soon as they arrive, that they feel welcome, and that they realize that there are ways that they can become part of the larger community. And that's why this is exactly what the guide is intended to do, to help immigrants integrate into the civic culture they find in America, providing them basic information about education, the public school system, housing, healthcare, but also, as I've said before, about civics, and encouraging them to learn English as soon as they arrive in the country.
You said rights and responsibilities. Give me an example of a responsibility that you may have put in writing in this guide for immigrants. Obviously, we talk about rights all the time. We've been talking about our Fourth Amendment rights almost all morning with respect to the bus and subway searches. What about responsibilities? What do you actually tell a new immigrant that is on their shoulders, you know, to that they need to do as part of a new community?
Well, many things, from registering with a selective service, and many permanent residents of a certain age have to register with selective service in the United States, and that's fundamental if they eventually want to become citizens. We also tell them the importance of paying taxes, local taxes, federal taxes in the country, and other type of responsibilities like that.
And we can take some phone calls for Alfonso Aguilar, who's in charge of the Office of Citizenship at the Citizenship and Immigration Service, which is now under the Homeland Security Department, used to be the Immigration and Naturalization Service. 212-433-WNYC is our phone number, 433-9692. We'll save at least some of our lines for people who've immigrated to the United States, 212-433-9692. We spoke to someone at a local immigrant advocacy group, the New York Immigration Coalition, who said this kind of guide is better done, in their opinion, at the local level, where they've been doing this for years. The thinking there is that the concerns of local immigrants are better known at this level, rather than having the federal government try to do it. What would you say to that?
Well, you know, we have to understand these are not overlapping efforts. I think it's important that community organizations in local communities develop resources, their own guides, to help immigrants integrate in those communities. But it's fundamental that the federal government, the U.S. government, facilitate the integration of immigrants into civic culture. As government, we have access to every single legal immigrant. We communicate with them. So we want to make sure that we can take advantage of those formal communications with immigrants as they arrive in the country to provide them information about life in America. In fact, our guide may lead many immigrants that settle in New York to go to the New York Immigrant Coalition and ask for help. You have to understand that many may arrive here but may not know who to call. They certainly may not know about the services that many community and faith-based organizations provide in their local communities. We provide that information in our guide. It's opening the door. It's a first step, clearly recognizing that many community organizations and religious organizations provide great services to immigrants, but we have to target also everyone within in the immigrant community, not only those immigrants that arrive to the United States with very little education, that don't speak English, but also immigrants that have education but don't know that much about our system of government or civics. We also want to engage them, everyone. Every single immigrant, be it a one who comes here to work in agriculture or work as an engineer, has to learn. If they're going to be in the United States, living in the United States, they have to identify with the civic principles that define American identity. Mm-hmm. Which is
On that, and on the whole notion of integration, how much of this is inspired by the goal of reducing the risk of terrorist attacks? As I mentioned, the Immigration Services, Citizenship and Immigration Services has been put under the Department of Homeland Security in the reorganization after September 11th. We've been hearing so much about how in the UK, the Pakistani immigrant community has not felt very well accepted, not been very well assimilated, and that might have contributed to the possibility of a homegrown group of terrorists staging the 7/7 attacks. How much is that the motivation for this current work of yours?
Well, you know, that's definitely, I think, one of the goals of the office. I wouldn't say that that's the main reason why the Office of Citizenship exists. I mean, I think we recognize that for the past 10 years we're receiving immigrants in record levels, and we have to make sure that because they come from a diversity of countries, from Africa, Latin America, the Caribbean, and Asia, we have to make sure that to retain our political unity and cohesion, that they identify with those civic principles. Clearly, that also has to do with our efforts against terrorism. We want to make sure that nobody in this country feels marginalized. The greatness about America truly is that we integrate everyone, regardless of their background. And I think President Bush has been very clear, and presidents before him have always said that America is based on a civic creed, on civic principles clearly established in the Constitution, not on race, not on religion. So we celebrate the diversity that immigrants bring to the country. It's wonderful. We're a nation of diversity. But at the same time, to continue functioning as a society, as one nation, we have to make sure that everybody living here identifies with those common civic core values. And that's what this is all about. So indeed, it has to do somewhat with our efforts to make sure that the terrorist attacks don't happen again. But it also has to do with the mere fact that we're experiencing large levels of immigration. In the past 3 years, we've naturalized around 1.5 million new Americans. We've received 3 million permanent residents in the past 3 years. Those are incredible numbers. And it shows that America, even after the terrible attacks of 9/11, continues to be a very open country to legal immigration.
Alfonso Aguilar is my guest on WNYC, Chief of the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Citizenship. And let's take a few phone calls from immigrants and maybe others. Brandon in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good, thank you. And you?
Good. I just had a few comments. I became a citizen last year, originally from Ireland. Immediately got to vote and voted in the last election. And now, actually, this week I get called for jury duty, which I'm kind of excited about.
Now you're really a citizen. Never mind all this voting stuff.
And I haven't sidestepped getting out of it either.
Good for you.
I was just thinking that the citizenship test, the civics test, is so basic, and it really doesn't, it's so antiquated. Like, having a question like, who wrote the Star Spangled Banner, and who said, give me liberty or give me death, or like, how relevant is that in terms of, in the modern day era, wanting to be an American and be part of the culture?
What kind of thing would you like to see on it instead?
I would like something more opinionated. Like, do you believe in the laws of the land? Are you prepared to, participate
right.
and step up in for your country in whatever level?
Right. That's in the oath. Alfonso Aguilar, do you want to talk about that?
I got disconnected for a couple of minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just recap that question. I'll gladly answer it.
Okay. Well, Brendan was saying that. Brendan is an immigrant from Ireland, naturalized citizen now, voted for the first time and just got called for jury duty, which he says he's not going to try to sidestep. But he thought that some of the questions on the citizenship exam, you know, didn't have much relevance to things going on today. And so rather than be these textbook kinds of things, that they should have more to do with values today and, you know, asking people about their dedication to this country. And I was saying that that's the kind of thing that's in the oath.
Absolutely. But at the same time, I would agree with the caller. That's why we're in a process of redesigning the naturalization exam to make it more concept-driven rather than testing on trivial facts about history, some that are important for people to know. We want to make sure that people understand concepts. For example, what does serving in a jury mean? Why is it important to be judged by a jury of your peers? I think that will contribute more to citizenship candidates than just asking trivial questions. So I would agree with the caller. At the same time, as you say, the oath of allegiance that new citizens have to take at naturalization ceremonies covers a lot of those concepts. And we want to make sure that in the new test, we have a question about the oath of allegiance, that they understand the important responsibilities that also come with citizenship.
Thank you for your call, Brendan. On that oath, I understand that there was a proposal, and I don't know if it went through or not, to change the oath to ask citizens, newly naturalized citizens, to disavow loyalty to any terrorist groups as well as other sovereign governments. Did that happen? And what is the oath of citizenship right now?
Well, it hasn't happened. I've testified before the House Subcommittee on Immigration about this issue of the oath. The immigration law, the basic immigration law, it has mandated that five basic elements be included in the language of the oath. And the current oath that we have includes all those five elements: allegiance to the country, being able to serve in the military if called, and so forth. We felt that we needed to simplify the language of the oath, not sidestep those requirements, which are fundamental, but simplify the language of the oath so immigrants, where they're taking the oath, they understand exactly what they're swearing allegiance to. Also, the current oath is very long, and it uses phrases that are not in common usage these days. But we have been working with Congress. Senator Alexander of Tennessee has introduced a bill in the Senate to codify the language of the oath. So has Congressman Ryan of Kansas has presented a similar bill in the House, and they have taken the language, a new version of the oath that we have developed at the Office of Citizenship, and their interest is in codifying that language. So we're still working through the process. We may get eventually, if not this year, in a few years, a new language that it's a compromised language developed by the Office of Citizenship, but that has the support of Congress.
Let's take another call. Dave in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Hi, and thanks for taking the call. Mm-hmm. I am an ESL teacher and work with immigrants, and I have another friend who actually is an ESL teacher who the goal of that course is to, you know, work towards citizenship. And I should say that in the city, at any rate, Mayor Bloomberg has cut the budget for that. We're getting less than same groups under Mayor Giuliani.
In fact, Mr. Aguilar, I believe that President Bush has proposed a 60% cut in funding for English language programs that's currently making its way through Congress.
Well, indeed, we're aware of that. Now, we have to be aware that, we recognize, the Bush administration recognizes we are in a period of budget constraints, so we've had to reduce funding for a number of programs. That doesn't mean that we don't value the work that community colleges are doing or adult education programs. I think they offer a fundamental service to immigrants. At the same time, I would say that not every immigrant, in fact, most immigrants, don't have the time or the opportunity to go to a community college. Many have full-time work or work extra hours, as we know, and we have to find ways of helping them learn civics and also learn English through different means.
What would be, and we just have 30 seconds left, and I know you have a report that found that there was more demand than available English language course. What would some of those other means be, real quick?
Oh, absolutely. At the workplace training on citizenship and English. And we've seen it. Different corporations are already doing
so to get more private sector funding for this.
Absolutely. Even creating some sort of private-public mechanism to leverage funding for the private sector to provide grants to organizations, community college, adult education programs that provide citizenship training.
All right,
but the fundamental last point is citizen training has to be more than just preparing for an exam. It has to promote an understanding of citizenship rights and responsibilities.
Alfonso Aguilar from the Office of Citizenship. People can see this guide on the website. What's your web address, real quick?
It's uscis.gov, and they can click on the Office of Citizenship, and they'll find it there.
Thanks for coming on with us.
Okay, bye-bye.
Nuala McGovern produced this program with Ilya Marich, Jim Colgan, Priya George, and Lisa Allison. Help today from Kelly Loudenberg. That's Jennifer Munson at the audio controls, with music provided by Soul Live. I'm Brian Lehrer.